traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network, coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. We were off last week due to the hurricane. We survived the hurricane, got some water damage and some wind damage, but other than that, we all survived. All the horses made it. We are a hurricane equestrian facility. So when you come here to during a hurricane, we take good care of you. We've got cement block stalls, and we're just ready. We're equipped for hurricanes, so that worked out good. And so everybody was happy. Now, in the horse industry, it's kind of funny. The month of November is the month that you end your season and you start your season. Not many sports have that. It's exciting because, like, for example, with the Thoroughbreds, since the 1st of November, we have the Breeders' Cup, and that's the culmination of all the horses pointing for during the year, and it's quite exciting. And then the show horse season is starting here in South Florida and all over the country and all through Europe, and it starts in November, and it ends in November, a year from now. So that's what I like about the month of November. We got Thanksgiving, and we get to see a lot of friends and family, and you know, we get right into the thick of things with the horse industry and all breeds and all associations. So we're excited about that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the Breeders' Cup and the Kentucky Derby 2023, how they get there. We're also going to talk about some holiday things that are coming up. And what I like about it, most of your equestrian facilities really go all out at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. It's really nice, you know, to go visit them. And if you're in the Mill Springs, North Carolina area, there's a place called Tryon Resort. They're having their Winter Fest, and you got to save these dates. Nightly drive-through light show, starting November 17th through January 1st. They have the Christmas market, starts in November 25th and 27th. And that's really a nice market there. You can get a lot of good, you know, equestrian items for, you know, Christmas presents and everything. And it's really good. The Winterfest Village is Thursday through Sunday, starting December 1st. They have kids activities, live music, ice skating, shopping, and photos with Santa. If you have any questions and like to see what all they have there, you can call Tryon International at 828-863-1000. Or they go to their address, which is 25 International Boulevard, Mill Springs, North Carolina, 28756. Or you can go to tryon.com/winterfest. They've got a little bit of everything there. And they're going to have on November 25th through the 27th, they're going to have 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Legends Plaza. They're going to have 30 vendors, live music, ice skating, and concessions. You can go to tryon.com/winterfest and see what all they have there. And let me tell you something, it's really great for the family to go to. It's very inexpensive, and it's something that I think that everybody would like to see, you know, in your family. And then the next place we're going to talk about is here in our home state of Florida. And it's just a phenomenal place. The people that have built this is just really gone all out, and it's a state-of-the-art, probably, I would say probably the best equestrian facility in the country, maybe even in the world. It's called the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, Florida. It's located at 1750 Northwest 80th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34482. You can go to worldequestriancenter.com, or you can call 352-414-7900. This place, I'm telling you, I just couldn't. I've seen a lot of places in my career. This place is probably the best in the world, I would say. They have an equestrian hotel there. It's five floors. They have 248 rooms, handicap accessible 67 rooms. You check in at 4 p.m. and check out the next day at 12 p.m. Just a beautiful hotel, plenty of handicap facilities there, and plenty of rooms, which I really do like. And then if you're not into the hotel, the five-star hotel bit, they have an RV park. They have 280 RV slips there. They have water, power, and sewer hookups provided at each slip, a general store, and a fuel station. Shower facilities are also available along with the laundromat. So if you bring your RV in there, you don't have to leave to go for anything. You've got everything that is right there. It's just a great place to go. And then they have what they call the home away from home. It's 70 units. There are three-bedroom, two-bath units. They have a full kitchen and dining area, sleeper sofa, and washer and dryers in each one of the 70 units. So if you want to not into the RVing and you're not into the hotel, you're more into the home style visitation there with them, you can go to the home away from home. Like I said, there's 70 units there and there are three bedrooms, so that'll accommodate just about any size family. So, they make it comfortable for you there. And when you're there, the event space that they have is just unbelievable. The Exposition Center One has it's just unbelievable. They have two LED walls and one four-sided LED screen in there, so you can watch the event on television as well as in person. Exposition Center 2 is two LED walls and one four-sided LED screen. Arenas 1 and 4, one LED wall, two LED center displays. Arena 5 has two LED walls and one four-sided LED screen. The Grand Outdoor Arena connected to the Equestrian Hotel Open Air Stadium for 1,500 spectators. And it's just amazing the seating capacity that they have there. The World Equestrian Center Stadium is an open-air stadium, and it has seating for 7,000 spectators. And, I mean, it's fantastic. They got one large LED wall so that you don't miss any of the action. So, this is the type of thing that you just don't see every day in the sporting industry. The World Equestrian Center accommodates to the patrons and to the equestrians that come there, and you don't need to go anywhere for anything else. I was really surprised when I was there. I just couldn't believe it. I actually saw it from the beginning until, recently. It's just a place to behold and go to. They have event features and services. They have dedicated loading dock at each exposition center. They have multiple freight doors at each exposition center, dedicated event management team, on-site AV production, on-site IT team, and convenient on-site parking. So you can literally park up to whatever arena that you're going to, and you're right there. And it makes it really convenient for you to get in and get out of the center there at the World Equestrian Center. The enhancements that they put in there, they have a business center located on the third and fifth floor of the Equestrian Hotel, on-site printing services, and in-room dining. And that makes it nice because you don't have to leave the hotel at all to take care of your equestrian business. It's just phenomenal what they can do for it. And then as far as recreational facilities go, they have an outdoor pool and splash park. They have walking and jogging paths. They have a salon and spa, 24-hour fitness center, and sand volleyball court. So you can relax and entertain and stay healthy at the same time, you know, with all the physical activities that they have there. Then this is what just really surprised me, to see what they have. They have restaurants. They have indoor and outdoor seating available. They have, let's see, what do we got here? They got 9 restaurants here. And I mean, it's really something else. And they got Filo's, Mexican Cantina, the Yellow Pony, Horse to the Water Pool and Bar, next to the Horse Water Pool and Bar, Miss Philly's Lollipops, Ralph's Burgers and Sandwich Shop, Stirrup's Restaurant, Viola and Dot's Italian Kitchen, and Yellow Pony Pub and Garden. So they got just a little bit of everything there for everybody, you know, at the World Equestrian Facilities. And I'm getting all excited just talking about it. I want to get up there and place an order, you know, to get something to eat, whether it's in the room or, you know, at the restaurant itself. The outdoor facilities, I couldn't believe. When I looked at it, I said, man, oh, man, is this some type of an arena? The World Equestrian Stadium is 370 feet by 370 feet. The Grand Outdoor Arena is 380 by 300. And these are huge arenas. The total square feet on the stadium is 136,900 square feet. The outdoor arena is 114,000 square feet. So they're big. The stadium, indoor stadium, has 7,000 permanent seats. Outdoor, 1,500 permanent seats. It's just unbelievable. They have an announcer and judges booth. They have internet, high-speed Wi-Fi in both of them. The footing in each one of the arenas is the GGT footing, which is one of the best in the country. It's really good footing for the horses and easy to take care of. They have the LED walls in both arenas. They have food servicing and catering in both arenas. They have 4 concession stands in the stadium, plus catering services. And then the outdoor arena just has catering services. They have 4 show offices there to handle both the arenas. They have on-site parking, and they have restrooms. And it's just, it's the perfect setting to go watch an equestrian event, because you there's nothing that you need there. That's for sure. And, you know, I just have a hard time explaining, you know, to people about what it's like, because I've seen it and I'm enthusiastic, and you haven't seen it and you need to go see it. And that's in Ocala, Florida. And I'm telling you, once you get there, it's like going to, it's the equestrian answer to Disney World. That's the only way I can explain it. They have church facilities on the property. They have just a little bit of everything. They have a grocery store. They have a veterinarian clinic that we're going to get into 2 weeks from today. A brand new veterinarian clinic there, so you don't have to take your horses away from the World Equestrian Facility. All you got to do is take them to the vet clinic there. And that makes a big difference if you have a horse that's injured. If you've got on-site a veterinarian clinic and you don't have to ship it anywhere. So that's really what, you know, what it's all about, what they do for you and everything. So I was excited to see it. And the other thing that I like about it, especially like we were talking about, how the Equestrian Center starts in November 22 and ends in November 23. At the World Equestrian Center, they have, literally starting in January 19th through the 22nd, 23, they have the USEF and USDF competition starts. And they have it in January, February, March, April, May, June, August, September, October, November, and December. So June and July are the only 2 months that they're not up and showing there. And this is just for the U.S. EF and the U.S. DF there. So, but they do have other events in June and July there, Grand Prix jumping and all kinds of different programs there that they have. So they're pretty much, year-round there. It's a great thing to go to. And if you want to take the family, you don't have to be a horseman to go there. You can take your RV there. They got plenty of RV sites, and it's a great place to, see and go do items. And it's in Ocala. It's close to Orlando, close to Daytona, and you're there at Disney World, not too far from Tampa. And it's really a good place to go and take a look at, which I think everybody would like. So now we're going to get into the Breeders' Cup that we had last week. The Breeders' Cup was just an amazing time this year. It was held in Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington, Kentucky. And I tell you what, it was great. It was just fantastic what they had there. If you've never been to a Breeders' Cup, it's 2 days of the best horse racing in the world. You see all the stars from all over Europe. You see them from just literally every country and every continent in the world they come in. And they meet once that Breeders' Cup weekend. It's usually the first Friday and Saturday in November. And everybody's invited to the Breeders' Cup. It's won major races all over the world. And you see the best of the best compete against each other. And it's getting better and better every year. More and more people are coming. And it just makes our industry more stable. It's just kind of hard to explain. It's like the World Equestrian Center. You need to go see it. You can see it on TV or, in print. But you just need to go see it. And it's exciting. Keeneland's a beautiful place in Lexington, Kentucky. And it's an old established facility. And it's first class all the way. And so that's what I get excited about. It. And this year, there was a record handle for the 39th Breeders' Cup World Championships. Total all sources, global common pool handle for the two-day Breeders' Cup World Cup Championship at Keeneland was $189,060,373, a record for the two-day event. And the reason I'm telling you about this handle, that means how much money was bet on the Breeders' Cup races. And the reason I'm telling you that is because that shows the stability of the equine industry towards the thoroughbreds. It was just a great 2 days there. People that don't attend usually have a Breeders' Cup parties at their homes or at their local racetracks, and to coincide with what's going on actually at the Breeders' Cup at Lexington. And I couldn't believe it. This total represents a 3.4% increase over the prior record of $182,908,000 that set when the event was held at Del Mar in 2021. So we were looking at a lot of things there. You're looking at COVID, the economy. You're looking at a lot of things, but people are spending money, to go to these different things that they're doing. In the equestrian industry, whether it's racing or showing or what have you. And I was just amazed. In 2020, there was no attendance at the Breeders' Cup, which was held at Keeneland. They had the COVID and nobody could attend. And they still did $160 million in handle there on the races. In Del Mar, in 2021, they had 47,089 people and did $182,000 in handle, which was good, and they were coming off of COVID. But this year, The attendance that they had at Keeneland was 85,824. And that was just amazing, you know, to see that happen. You go back to 2018 at Churchill Downs, they had 112,000 people that attended. They had Santa Anita had 109,000 people that attended in 2019. And it just goes, it's endless, you know, on how they keep getting the people that they got. In 2007, you know, Monmouth Park had 69,000 people, and that's a small track, and that was excellent, you know, for the Breeders' Cup, you know, to have a handle and have attendance like that. And then you don't forget about the television aspect and the radio aspect of it. You know, they literally reach everywhere in the world for it, so that makes it all go pretty good, you know, for the Breeders' Cup. And so the reason I was telling you about them, the handle and the attendance and everything, the Breeders' Cup's always trying to, in the equestrian industry as a whole, is trying to make it more desirable for the general public to come. For the Breeders' Cup, you really don't have to know anything about horses. You can just show up. There's plenty of things that they have available to tutor you on, you know, the business and, you know, what's going on for the day. And you know, it's really exciting to see the faces of new people come in and go through, you know, the orientation of Breeders' Cup or the Kentucky Derby, the Triple Crown, Preakness, the Belmont, you know, that type of thing. And we talked about this before on one of the shows that we had. If you go to any of these equestrian events, you always go up to the general public and you ask them, or to the publicity office or to the main office, and you ask them about if they have any things that can assist them in watching or going, you know, through the park. It's a lot of different things that you can have there. And for example, at the Kentucky Horse Park, when they have the three-day eventing, and in the early spring, they have a booth there where they rent you headsets. And you can get these headsets, and you go in and put them on, and then you walk through the park, and you go past the different venues and the different restaurants and the different everything that's there. And when you're walking through, there's a recording that plays that you'll hear, and I tell you, it's kind of neat. It's you know, it's kind of like if you ever gone to Disney World and you see you get off your at Mickey Mouse Row, you know, remember that, and that's where you go to. But when you go through like at the horse park in Kentucky, it tells you you are at the beginning of 3-day eventing competition. And then it starts telling you, you know, about the three-day eventing, what the procedure is, and, you know, who's getting ready to go on course. And you hear that, and then if you start walking the course or walking through, you know, down through the venue there, it tells you that, you know, you're at the first set of jumps, and it tells you about the jump and, you know, what it is and how it is, and they tell you everything about it. And as you walk along the course, it tells you about each jump that you're at and wherever you're at. And this headset follows true to all the park there. If you're over by the stadium jumping, it tells you you're at stadium jumping. You know, rider 234 is on course, and it's Bill Johnson, and he's on the horse called How to Do It. It tells you all about it. You know, it's like having a talking program in front of you. And you don't have to carry the program, just wear the headsets. And so that's really becoming very popular in the equestrian industry. But as far as the Breeders' Cup goes, they're trying a new thing that you're going to see in a lot of venues over the next year or so. It says, we've all been there watching the game and all of the athletes and their amazing feats. We've wondered what it would be like to soar through the air like LeBron James or crush a massive home run like Aaron Judge, or a sling, a slide, a sidearm pass for a football touchdown like LaPatrick Mahomes. So what they do is they've got this virtual reality thing that they have, and you wear them, and it puts you right there. It's crazy. And you can ride a virtual reality race with Team Blood Horse. You can go through and see what it looks like through the eyes of a jockey. It's just unbelievable, you know, how you can do these things with modern technology. You can set up in the grandstands just beyond the paddock, connections to the horses, and get the taste of November 3rd. It says, I think this is the closest thing that we can give someone not from the sport or had anything to do with the sport, the feeling of what it's actually like to ride in a real race. And this is amazing. It's like the headset. You can get on, you can put the goggles on, and you can go in and you can sit there, and you're going to see what it's like for jockeys to get dirt in the face, how the holes open up for the horses to run through. It's going to be just like putting you in the saddle. And those are the kind of things that, you know, that the Breeders' Cup and the horse industry is trying to do. I don't know how to explain it. It's their way of introducing people to the business that do not know what it's all about. And then it's also a way to help the people that are in the business understand it more. I've never have been a jockey and never would be a jockey, but I can put them on and I can see and feel what it's like to be a jockey in a race, you know, and that helps you understand the sport a little more, especially when you're watching it on TV or listening to it on the radio. You know, it's very exciting to, you know, to hear. And those are the things that they're doing now in all these different venues, is to make it more enjoyable for the, you know, the spectator. And that's what I really do like about the horse industry. They're becoming really aggressive on getting new people in and getting fans in, and it's a good marketing thing for, you know, the things that we're doing in the business, and it's good for the whole family. So, you know, that's something you'll have to check out at any horse venue you go to, and see if they have the headsets and the virtual reality, you know, systems there, which they should be getting here pretty quick. And then the Breeders' Cup, it was really interesting this year. It was at Keeneland. It was a $6 million race for three-year-olds and up. They were going a mile and one-fourth on the dirt. And there was a lot of good horses this year in it. It had run in the Kentucky Derby and all over the world, and older horses too. And the thing, Rich Strike last year's Kentucky Derby was in there for Eric Lee with Sonny Leon in the irons. We had Olympiad for Bill Mott with Alvarado in the irons. It was unbelievable. We had Tavia, a Derby runner for Bob Baffert, which was in there with Mike Smith. And then we had Life is Good for Todd Fletcher. Ortiz was in the irons for Todd Fletcher. Had Happy Saber for Todd Fletcher with Velasquez. And then we had the horse Hot Rod Charlie, which has been a fan favorite for a long time, for Doug O'Neill. And then Steve Asmussen had one of the better horses in there, Epicenter, and to see what he could do. But it really came down to Flightline. For John Sadler, Flightline had won just about any and everything that he could be, and he won it by many lengths. Every time he raced, he'd win 10, 15 lengths, and he was just, you know, unbelievable in what he could do. So, you know, that was exciting to see the Breeders' Cup Classic. And what was nice is when it came on, I said, man, oh, man, is this horse set up for a win like there's no tomorrow? But he had to earn it. And that was the tough part about it, is he really had to earn this race. And I tell you, he came in and he won by many. He took Life Is Good took the lead. He went out in storming fashion. He was going to catch me if you can, Flight Line. And Flight Line did catch him. This looked like Secretariat all over again. Flight Line dominated the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic like there was no tomorrow. I was just really amazed how well he ran. He won the race by 8 1/4 lengths in the 39th running of the $6 million Longines Breeders' Cup Classic for 3-year-olds and up. He was unbelievable. He's trained by John Sadler, ridden by Flavian Pratt. He completed the 1 1/4 on a fast track in 2 minutes and 0.5 seconds. It's the second classic victory for Sadler, who won with Accelerate in 2018 at Churchill Downs. He was really good. Life Is Good, the one that expected to be the most likely to upset Flight Line, was good. He shot to the front out of the gate. Flight Line taking up a stalking position to his outside through fractions of 22, 5, 45, 4, 109, and 6, and as the two opened up 10 lengths on the rest of the field. So these two were much the better of the field, and they just ran a fantastic race. Life Is Good had no response when Flight Line moved up past him and opened up, leaving the race for place, and was earned by Olympiad, who finished a half length in front of Tavian. So it was a great race. You know, you can go to a lot of races, and you're not going to see anything as good as that one was. I tell you, it was like Secretariat all over again, or Sunday Silence and Easy Go, or type of race. It was just unbelievable. And it's something that everybody was looking forward to all year long. And so both horses were retired after the race, and they've gone to stud duties at the different various farms in Lexington there. So that was good. And then the other thing that, was good was the Breeders' Cup Mile. If Life Is Good would have run in the Breeders' Cup Mile, he would have won it easy. It's just a great race in itself. And so, you know, it led up to the Classic, and it was really good. So that's what I really liked about that day. And one of the things that we talk about here in the horse industry is the things that you go to and that makes it a little bit more enjoyable for the patron and the spectators to watch. They have product out there. It's called the Racing Form, and it's the 2022 Breeders' Cup Advanced Past Performances. And what I like about it is they come in and all the different Breeders' Cup races that they have here, they have a little evaluation of it, and it kind of helps you if you've never been into the gambling aspect of it. And you don't even really have to gamble, but this product is really good. It's called the Racing Form Breeders' Cup Advanced Past Performance. And each section has a little bit of article on who's who and what's what and what number they're in and where they're going and what they're doing. And it kind of helps you go through and understand a little bit more about it. And you can actually watch, the races with some type of educated guess of who you might like to bet on if you were going to bet. And I've been in this business all my life, and I've gone in and I've looked at some of these things that they have in here, and I said, there's no way this horse is going to do what they're saying here in the racing form. And I said, I see this horse train every day. I don't know what in the heck, they're looking at. What day were they here? Did I miss that? Or what have you? And next thing you know, the racing form was right. So I was like, man, this is kind of a good book to have. But it's not necessarily, the way it all comes out. It's just not the way it comes out. And, it's just a shot you take, but it's very educational and it's nice to have because it makes you understand, the product that you're getting ready to watch. And so that's about the Breeders' Cup and everything. And you can get them at, just about any newsstand, you can go and get them. It's daily racing form. You can go and get, or you can go online and, print off what you want to see. Southern California will be the next play stop for the Breeders' Cup next year. So that'll be good. And in accordance with the industry and the way the people are coming, Southern California Racing turns to Del Mar for the fall meet, which is going to be exciting to see what all they have there. Del Mar is a fantastic place. It's the surf and turf. They're right on the ocean in Del Mar, California. It was founded by Bing Crosby. Racing will be conducted for over 13 days, primarily on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, bases each week, with the first post daily at 12:30 Pacific time. The lone exception is Thanksgiving, the 24th, when racing will start at 11 a.m. Post time and finish around 3 p.m. Del Mar is coming off on the heels of the most successful meeting ever, a 31-day summer stand that established a record daily average handle of $18.6 million and an average field size of 9 horses per race, offering some of the deepest racing in the nation. The opening weekend will feature a trio of stake races, Friday with $75,000 Let It Ride overnight stakes for three-year-olds at a mile on the turf. The race drew in a field of 9, led by Handy Dandy, Script, and Sky and Spycatcher. So those things that are coming up in Del Mar, it's going to be a great 13 days. Give you something to do on the weekends, and it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes for Del Mar. And it just goes to show you, that in Kentucky, New York, Canada, Europe, the racing's getting better and better. And more people are, getting into the action. And again, now we're going back to, like I was saying before earlier, the equestrian industry starts in November and ends in November. It sounds kind of funny. It sounds like that I'm suggesting that it's only a 30-day deal, but it's not. It starts in November 2022 and ends in November 2023. And we're going to talk about a little project that we're doing here. It's called How They Get There, the 2023 Kentucky Derby. And what we do is we're going through a lot of things here, and just to show you what all's going on. We have on our website today, for example, we got America's Day at the Races. We've got a lot of different interesting things on there that I think you'd like to see. We have the 1.5-meter Las Vegas National All-In Speed Classic. It's the FEI, it's a jumping World Cup series. That starts today, and it's live. It's live right now on our website, coming from Las Vegas, Nevada. Then we have other things that we have on there that I think you'd be like to look at. We have the golf sales, which is an international sale. We've got a lot of things, but getting back to the 2023 Kentucky Derby, we have what we call How They Get There. And it's the road to the Kentucky Derby, what they have to do to it, to get there. And it all starts, like we said before, with the owner You know, he either breeds or buys a horse at their point to the Kentucky Derby, and they start getting them on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And it's a very exciting road. It lasts right at a year. It starts out, and it's just, you know, you go everywhere all across the world to try to get into it. It basically started the first couple prep races that were interesting was the Iroquois at Churchill Downs. It's a mile and a 16th, and a lot of times trainers like to run a horse there prior to the Kentucky Derby, and this is for two-year-olds. And then they have the Champagne Stakes at Aqueduct and American Pharoah at Santa Anita, the Breeders' Futurity, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which we just had, you know, last week. And then we got the Jockey Club coming up November 26th, which is really when you start getting into it with your serious horses, trying to get to the Kentucky Derby. And so it just goes to show you, it happens quick and it goes fast. And you got to be careful where you send your horses and what you do. Now, for example, when we say it starts with the owner, we're going to talk about Kenny Trout that owns Windstar Farm. Kenny Trout, he was the founder of Excel Communications, a Texas-based telecommunications company that offered long-distance phone service. Trout became a billionaire in 1998 when Excel was sold to Teleglobe for $3.5 billion. As of 2022, his net worth, Kenny's net worth was approximately $2 billion. He's the sole owner of One Star Farm, and it's an elite 2,400-acre thoroughbred horse farm in Versailles, Kentucky, which I worked at. And I really do, you know, like it there. Really, really good. Kenny was the chairman of Mount Vernon Investments. Trout has won the Kentucky Derby twice with the Preakness Stakes once and the Belmont three times, including the 13th Triple Crown winner. He owned Justify. And so when I went to work for them, their goal and their business plan was to win a Kentucky Derby, breed a Kentucky Derby winner, and possibly a Triple Crown winner. And that was back in the late, in the early 90s. And they have accomplished that. And it was a good team effort that Kenny had put together. It was fantastic to work there, to be around those kind of horses. Some of the notable stallions that he has is Super Saver. He was the winner of the 2010 Kentucky Derby. Drosselmeyer was the winner of the 2010 Belmont Stakes. Creator was the winner of the 2016 Belmont Stakes. And Justify was the 13th Triple Crown winner. And, you know, it's just amazing what you can do, you know, in this business if you have the right organization and if you do it the right things. And that's what we're doing with How They Get There. We're trying to tell you how they get there and explain to them, you know, what they do and how they do it. And so the farms that that we're looking at, the journey starts with the owner, and we started with Kenny Trout. And he's just an unbelievable person with Windstar Farm. Windstar Farm is a horse breeding and stud farm and thoroughbred racing stable. It's at 3001 Piscataway Pike, Versailles, Kentucky. Kenny Trout is the primary owner. He's the founder. And he's got everything going there that he can need to do what he does. And he put it together and followed the business plan. One of the persons that's instrumental in what Kenny does is the guy that I work for. He's a fantastic man, a good Christian man. He's always thinking of his horses and his family and his friends, what he does. It's Elliot Walden. Elliot, he's the CEO of racing operations for Windstar near Versailles and a former thoroughbred racehorse trainer. I worked for him when he was training. And we had a lot of good horses with him. You know, it was really good. I tell you, Elliot is the kind of guy you want in your organization, especially if you're trying to get to the Kentucky Derby, because he's an instrumental part of how the operation runs. And Elliot is just unbelievable and with the things that he does. And so he's one of the guys along that with Kenny Trout. And he advises Kenny on a lot of things, and they talk things over. And one of the things that they did is they got Todd Pletcher to train for him. And Todd had Super Saver and Always Dreaming Derby winners. And so now they all got together and they started looking at things. And, you know, like I said, we talked about the Iroquois, the Champagne Breeders Futurity and American Pharoah, and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile that they just had, which Forte won. And that's a Todd Pletcher, you know, trained horse. And so we got a lot of races coming up. Literally every other weekend there's one. Next race is November 26th, the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs. And like I said before, you have two opportunities to get your horse over the track there in stakes competition before the Kentucky Derby, because it's all on a point system now. You got to have the points to get in, and you got to be careful about where you go, and you got to make sure that you do have enough points to get in, which makes that exciting, because you could be running at Los Alamitos Aqueduct, the Fairgrounds, Oakland Park, Santa Anita. You know, there's so many places that you can run to get those points, and you got to find out where to go and, you know, when to do it, and the whole nine yards. I tell you, it's exciting, you know, to see that. And it's a tough way to go to, you know, try to get a horse to the Kentucky Derby. I've been there quite a few times, and it just goes by. It's a blur. You know, it seems like one big long week that you're trying to get there. You know, you got to go every day, train every day. You know, have so many things that could go wrong. You got to have the right people around you, you know, to decide these things. You got to have the blacksmith there. You got to have a good feed company. You know, it's just so many things to it that you just really don't understand until you get there, because the general public and most people that are involved in the business, all you see are the horse races that are coming up, you know, like we were talking about the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Iroquois. You know, you're looking at those, and you see them for 3 or 4 minutes on, you know, on Saturday afternoon, and then you're going. You know, you don't know what the heck's going on there with it. It's a Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Forte won the race. He earned $1,040,000 for winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And the unusual part about this is, like we were talking about with the owners and the trainers, selecting a horse, ideally you want to breed the best of the best, and you get the best. Well, you know, and you want an established stallion that has, you know, proven that he can throw horses that can run and that look good, and, you know, go from there with it. Well, Forte was out of a stallion called Violence, and Violence is not, you know, he had 469 yearlings sold, and the average price was $52,000, and that's just unbelievable. You know, Forte was purchased at the Keeneland November sales 2020 for a mere sum of $80,000. You know, I say mere sum, just trying to emphasize that compared to a lot of horses that are being paid $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, $1 million for, Forte was purchased by for $80,000, and now he's earned $1,500,000. He earned $1,040,000 just in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile itself. And then he had prior wins to that, so now he's at $1,500,000, and the big races are yet to come, including the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. if this horse keeps on track and the way he's being managed, he's going to have, by next Breeders' Cup, next November, he could be up in the neighborhood of $3 or $4 million in earnings. And that's all, part of how they get there. He's still got the Kentucky Derby to go to. You got to remember that. He is right now the leading point getter and money earner for the Kentucky Derby 2023. And this horse has only run 5 times. He's got 5 starts, he's got 4 wins, and he's earned $1,595,000. That's what he has right now. And he's ready to go, training for the Kentucky Derby. In fact, he's at our Palm Beach Downs farm here in Delray Beach. That's where he'll train all winter long for the Kentucky Derby. This horse is just unreal. He's owned by the Repo Stable and St. Elias Stable. The breeder was Southgate Farm. Sire is Violence. The dam's Queen Caroline by Blaine. And I tell you, folks, this is the real deal here. The way he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he ran into a horse that they had up there, Bob Baffert had. And Baffert's horse was really good. I mean, he was the favorite in that race, Baffert was. In fact, Baffert had 2 of them in there. And they both ran second and third to him. It was just amazing, that these horses were supposed to be that good coming in from the West. And here Forte comes in, third, fourth choice in the race, and he beats him by 2 1/4 lengths. And he was going away from him. He just rolled past him. And the jockey said they couldn't do nothing when Forte came up there and just went past it. But again, it goes to show you that somebody's got to set the standards for, the stallion Violence. So now he's a proven stallion, but they didn't know that when they bought him. He had no foals that were anything near to that. And so on how they get there, we go behind the scenes and we'll talk to Kenny Trout and Elliot Walden, and we'll talk to the people about what they're doing and why they did what they did. And what we're trying to do now is I don't want to get into a situation in the interviews where we're doing hindsight. Hindsight's 2020. Right now, the way we started this documentary out, these were horses that I selected prior to them running. This was a trainer, that had been there and done that. This was an owner that had been there and done that. These were the people that had gone and done the things that they've done, and I was really excited about it, to see, all these things, come up. And, hey, I should have played the lottery because, and to be honest with you, I do have some skills in picking out horses and races and all like that, but this was just blind luck. This is just flat out blind luck and to get, start following these people that are doing that. And so I was excited about it. We're going to have a good documentary. And I won't be doing the interviews, that's for sure. We'll have somebody professional doing them and everything. And the storyline is going to be exactly what I have on my website. So it'll be an easy storyline to find. And you're not going to have to be, a horseman to watch this documentary. It'll be good entertainment for, you and the family and everything. So our next race is coming up is November 26th, which is just a week away from this Saturday. It's the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. And it's one of the 2 Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races held at Churchill Downs. It's a nice race here. One of the benefits is these young runners tackling the mile in the 16th race held every year on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. It gives them qualification points if you win it, or finish first, second, or third. And then it gives you a chance, like we said, to go over the track. It's a great race. The Jockey Club Stakes goes all the way back to 1920 in the inaugural edition. one of the strongest ever run on a sunny afternoon in Churchill Downs. It's just unbelievable how they do it, and it's really good to go. There's a lot of history to it. So, you know, if you tune in next week for us, well, not next week's Thanksgiving, it'll be, we'll have to do an after, after Thanksgiving show after that. But it's on how they get there. And like I said, you know, all through, I know I've been rambling on here and trying to get you guys to get interested in it. We kept running the call-in number, the 823-744-4831, and we don't get any callers. Going to have listeners get callers. So soon we're going to be getting listeners. I know that. That'll be for sure. But what I like about what we do here on Thursdays is we give the opportunity for horsemen and non-horsemen to call in and ask questions and do things that, you know, that we'd like to hear from them so that we can get a finger on, you know, what's going on in a spectator's mind. You know, like I said, you don't have to be a horseman to call in. You can call in, you know, ask when the Kentucky Derby is, and we'll tell you. And the website that we have is an information distribution site for equestrian information and racing. We do a lot of YouTube projects. We've got a couple projects that we're getting ready to post out of our YouTube library on the website. And we try to make it entertaining and informational. We're going to be bringing back here in the month of December, we're going to be bringing back the movie of the week, the equestrian movie of the week. And last year we had like Secretariat on there, had Ruffian on there. We have the Black Stallion on there. We have a lot of good new and old shows that is good for the family, you know, to watch. It gives you something to do on a rainy day whenever you get there. We leave them up for about 2 weeks so people can watch them and kind of go from there with it. But, you know, all in all, what we're trying to do is trying to get things going here. Hey, I sure would like to get somebody to call in. Maybe we could get another announcer on here to help us out is what we're looking, because we're getting ready to do that. We need to hire a person to do our documentary, to be the voice of our documentary. There's a lot of things that we're trying to do here. We're taking it a day at a time. You know, we want to make sure that we get a good product. And whether our product is good or bad, it's the presentation that we have. And I've had a lot of people tell me that they like the website. It's very good, you know, that what we can do on there. And we give a lot of opportunities for you know, people to come in and advertise, you know, on our website. We got a lot of different things that we have there. And one of the things that we've had up for a couple of weeks now is the International Equine Report. And the one that we have up there was the first video concept that we had of the International Equine Network and what we were trying to do. Now, this was geared specifically towards the thoroughbred industry. Anna Seitz was our announcer on there, and we had had a real good, interesting take on our industry. And we can do this for all breeds, but what we did is we took all the video, the rough video that we had, and we played it on the International Equine Report. And it kind of shows you what we go through and how we go through the different procedures to get a video program or a radio program up. And it's really good because you get to see the cameraman, the different angles that he has, and you get to see Anna ask the questions, and you get to see, you know, the little spoofs that we have in there. And, you know, that it doesn't all go good all the time, but people with like Anna Seitz, she could recoup from it. She did very well. She's a good person. And our camera crew was really good. Our owners were really good. So, you know, it kind of gives you an insight of what they're doing, and it's just not all that 2 minutes of fame that they go through. and everything. There's a lot of work to it, you know, and all my website and all my radio skills and TV skills are self-inflicted. I wasn't taught by anybody. You know, I just went in and just started being me, and that's what we want our viewers to realize. You know, we want anybody that would like to ask a question, call us, and we would like to go to the website, you know, to our email at ienequinetv@gmail.com. It's all over the website there. And, you know, just join us. You know, let's learn together about the equine industry. You know, we'll see you someday at the racetrack or at the horse shows or, you know, at the Olympics, that type of thing. So I rambled on enough this week, guys. I was going stir crazy from the hurricane that we had here last week at this time. We were getting pounded by wind and rain. We survived it. And all, we hope you're surviving where you're at. Just remember, take it a day at a time. And if you want something to relax and enjoy, come to ientv.org and pick your discipline and see what we got, and then call us and ask questions or tell us what you'd like to see or hear. So thanks for joining us this week. Have a good, safe holiday weekend next week, Thanksgiving. Remember, we'll do like I do here at my home. I set an empty chair at my table on Thanksgiving Day, and that represents all the people that we don't have with us anymore. So we'll talk to you next two Thursdays on IENTV at 1 o'clock.